actually have a bit of somewhat local crime news to tell you. Oh. I don't know if you'd be interested.
Obviously.
So, as you know, we have a cop in the family. Mm. Normally, he's only called out for, like, traffic accidents. So, like, when someone is either near death or close or is dead. Those kind of traffic accidents. That's what he gets called out for. But the other... A couple of months ago now, actually. But still, the other night. Because everything's the other night in lockdown. He got called out to a road accident. That somebody else reported in. The people involved didn't report it. Somebody passing by did.
Right.
And basically, when they got there, they found two fellas hopped up on pills and another guy under the car dead.
Oh!
Yeah. So what had happened was they were driving along high as shit, hit something, and it got lodged under the car.
No.
And yeah, your man went under the car. They jacked it up. He went under the car to get it out. And he was kicking at... whatever it was or whatever happened, he ended up kicking the jack out from under the car. And the car didn't weigh enough to, like, break his ribcage. So it took him 20 minutes to suffocate to death underneath the car. And they did nothing.
Oh.
They stood by and did nothing. They didn't try and pull his legs. They didn't try and jack the car back up. Not a thing. They stood by for 20 minutes while he was dying and let him die, right?
What the fuck?
They were charged with manslaughter.
Yeah.
I have strong suspicions that it was murder. In the second degree. I'm like, I don't believe it was manslaughter. Like, okay, they were hopped up on pills. And let's be honest, I've never taken them myself to know that if one of you were dying in front of me, I wouldn't notice or know what to do to get you out of it. But I'm like,
the fact that they just stood there or like not try to ring somebody.
It's very strange.
Like, I'm not saying they had to unlock, like, fucking superhuman strength and, like, just push the car off the top of your man around like that.
No, of course. But, like, wouldn't you try and pull somebody's leg out to try and get them out from under the car some way?
I'm sure they were a bit nervous at the fact that, they were taking pills, so they didn't want to get in trouble off the police. Can see that, but at the same time, getting in trouble for being a bit of a pillhead compared to being arrested for manslaughter...
It's a bit of a fucking difference.
What was their, like...
It's 5 years in prison, like...
What was their reasoning? Like, did they say they didn't notice?
Or? I don't know. Apparently it is just that they said that they were just so on drugs that they didn't realise, I think. They either didn't realise or didn't know how to react. One or the other is the excuse.
I mean, you've 20 even minutes when, to like, figure out how to fucking react, like...
Yeah, exactly.
You would have been screaming, man. He's suffocating. It's not as if he was crushed or anything, well, like...
He kind of was, because all of the blood vessels in his face had broken and his eyeballs had popped out of the socket.
All right, okay, so maybe he wasn't able to scream.
He probably wasn't able to scream. Otherwise, I'm sure more people might have noticed.
What, so he,
as well.
Like, he was squashed somewhere?
Yeah, he was basically compressed to death.
How did it only take him over 20 the course minutes of 20 to die, minutes. Though, with that much pressure on him?
Yeah. Without being able to scream. That doesn't make sense, really, does it?
I don't know. I think he was basically, each time he was breathing, he was able to breathe less and less.
Have we any scientists that listen to us? Probably not. Therefore,
because like
they definitely
thinking,
think we're lunatics.
It's just because with that much pressure that his eyes popped out of his head.
You would think, he would go quicker. But I guess the lungs were still able to function long enough that it took 20 minutes for him to actually die. But... look, I don't know all the facts. That's the problem. I'm getting it from a secondary source and it's translated from German to English. So we might be losing some details along the way as well. But I think it's fucking mental. And I can only... I've known about this for months and I can only talk about it now because they finally got their sentence handed down. So I've been waiting and waiting to find out what happened with it. But I was just surprised by manslaughter with knowing very minimal details about the case. I felt like it was too little. But is that?
Like,
that's mad.
I suppose they didn't actually do anything, and I know, like, it's stupid because that's the problem.
But then it's just manslaughter.
So if you don't help someone who's dying, it's manslaughter. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Same even if, like, there's a crash and you don't stop to help.
Oh, no way.
And they die. Yeah, you can be charged with manslaughter.
No
madness.
Way.
Yes, that's my true crime news from Germany for the week.
Jesus.
That shit happened in Austria recently as well, but I don't know, you probably heard about that
one.
What? That was pretty big.
Really? No.
Oh my God. There was a like a cold goods transport truck.
Oh,
so you know it's refrigerated and tightly sealed. Yeah, you know where this is going.
Oh no.
Yeah. 47 Syrians.
Fuck off.
He was trying to, yeah, he was trying to smuggle them over, I think over the border into Germany, but I'm not sure. They did not make it, not one of them. No.
That has not been mentioned here whatsoever.
Really? No. It only happened recently. Your man just got out of the truck and ran. Like, he just left.
Tramp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the second time that I've heard that of, like, something like that happening. Like, something that's air fucking tight.
Yeah, do you remember there was an Irish fella that did it in the UK?
Yeah.
Like, even kids know to not too long ago as well. Like, when they're, like, bringing bugs
around. Do you know what I mean?
But come on, fuck. It's a bit...
Like, it was a refrigerated truck. Like, what did you actually think was going to happen? Yeah. There is no oxygen for good reason.
No. Oh my madness. Fucking god.
Yeah, that's what's been happening in the world lately. Starting us off with some fucking
positivity there, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Setting the tone for the episode.
My god.
I just thought I'd fill you in on those because I thought they were fucking mad.
Jesus.
I'm at a loss. That's intense.
But on a better note, on account of his work on that case where your man was murdered by car, he has now been offered detective. So
oh, class.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, because like I said, he's a traffic cop. He doesn't normally respond to shit like that. Just because somebody reported it as an accident, he ended up going there. And then he handed over his evidence to the detectives and they were like, hey, how would you maybe like to be a detective also?
That's
good. Hey, someone want to come and offer that to me?
Us with our no experience or qualification.
Exactly. Don't need it. Don't need it.
Don't want it. Just want the badge.
Clearly just the best detectives ever. Look at us having our true crime podcast. Is that not a qualification in and of itself?
I feel like it should be. Because I feel like the facts and evidence that we're able to find within our sources, like having other people do the work, I feel like we're able to present it in such a way that's so easily understood and would lead to a conviction.
Exactly.
So maybe we should be lawyers. And
I love to argue with people. That would be amazing.
I could definitely see you being the defense attorney.
I'd be like crying. I'd be like, Your Honor, he's being mean.
It was like, your client is clearly guilty. And I was like, is he though?
Or looking at the jury when like, it's not going in your favour. Just start bawling crying. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Are you blind?
Oh. I'd live for the dramatics of it, to be honest.
Honestly.
Be like, Elwood's who? Like, Lizzie Evans walking in being like,
but
this is bullshit.
Do you know what? Maybe that's why I wasn't blessed with the brains to be a lawyer, because if I was, I would be unstoppable. Like, I would be a force to be reckoned with, and I needed to be humbled, so I was not gifted with it.
You would be getting all of the worst criminals off of death row. That's what you'd be doing. The money. Think of the money, Lizzie. That's where the money is.
You work
with the gangsters.
That'd be
Lizzie's
so exciting.
Lizzie's the new Saul Goodman.
Oh my god. See, now I'm upset that that's not my life.
Well, we can always pretend that you were on the jury that never did get to exist to convict the piece of shit we're talking about this week.
Ooh. Yes. Because I would have lived for the drama in this one. So I would have.
Imagine the court proceedings. They would have been so much fun. We got that taken away from us.
We did. So if you're guessing or haven't listened to last week's episode and you're only tuning in this week... spoiler alert, we're doing Jack the Ripper, so that's why
Savannah
said we were robbed.
We were robbed!
Because as we know, or in case you didn't know, which I don't know how you don't, this whore was never caught. Not a mention of his name. He's only called Jack because whoever wrote a letter to the police, he just called himself Jack, which probably wasn't even his real fucking name, let's be honest.
It was Jacqueline.
Yes.
Jacqueline the Ripper.
Yeah, here we go.
Imagine it was a woman the whole time. And she was like...
There is strong theories
that
it
was like killing the prostitutes that her husband was sleeping with.
I saw one where there's this woman, she murdered like a load of kids in the UK called Mary Ann Cotton. And I think there was a theory as well as to say that they think it was her. Like, I think this bitch could look to like 30 kids. Like, she was mental. Like,
you know,
scary looking. Oh
this
my god, she looks like a devil.
One of the few episodes where there was no child murder.
Actually.
And Lizzie was like,
well, I mean, just like,
30.
Like, well, kids dying in the slums in the sideline. Like, you know, but we're not going to be mentioning them. We're just going to assume.
That's just an act of nature.
But no one is going out and actively murdering kids.
No.
In this story,
I was
going to
argue there was none in the last one, but there was.
There was.
There was.
There was.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe a forced abortion, who knows, but definitely no kid murder. So
exactly.
Let's dive right in. Splash.
So before I start, I just want to credit my source for this week's episode, and that's going to be The Complete History of Jack the Ripper by Philip Sudgeon. And you can get the book on Kindle or the physical copy off of Amazon, and I'm sure the likes of fucking, I don't know. Where's, yeah, that's the word. I was going to say Heaton's, that is not it.
Or your local bookshop.
There we are. Doesn't fucking matter.
If you can go in, depending on where you are.
Oh yeah, I forgot we're in the middle of a pandemic. Anyway. So Victorian London between the years 1888 and 1891 was the stage for various brutal murders in London's East End, which still remained unsolved to this day. And all the victims, they were sex workers, and all of the attacks took place relatively close together, particularly in the districts of Whitechapel, Aldgate, Spitalfields, and the city of London itself.
Spitalfields.
Such a shit name. It's actually just called
Spitalfields. Like,
it's actually sick. And the crimes were believed to be committed by one lone man, a ripper. And although his identity has baffled historians and investigators for well over a century now at this point, he's quite literally known as the world's most infamous unidentified serial killer. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody knows who he is.
Honestly, there is, what the fuck are they called? The Amish out in the fields. Like, they know Jack the Ripper.
Yes. Like, yeah, might not know details, but like, oh, that's that spooky cunt.
Exactly. That's why we don't let our daughters live in the city.
But before we can even begin to unpack this case, we need to know what Victorian London was like at the time, because it'll kind of explain how he possibly got away with all of it and why these women were in the situations they were, where they just so happened to be in a certain place at a certain time.
Clearly, like, London was prosperous back in these days. There was no illnesses.
No, no.
No crime.
One would say a metropolis. It was...
Honestly, there were the streets were spotless.
Sure, didn't stink of cow piss and people shit. No.
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 The monthly bathing was definitely kept up with. It was a good time.
Monthly, you mean, like, probably
annual.
Yearly, but anyway.
Yeah. So, apart from the weekly piss wash.
I actually swear, right. I read before that apparently that's why a load of people used to get married in, like, I think it was June, because they'd have their annual bath in May. So you'd still smell kind of nice.
Because it was warm.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, that's fucking sick. That is
imagine.
Sick.
See, this is a small sidetrack, right? But David started watching all these conspiracy fucking videos, which they're probably true, but still, it annoys me. He's like, see, I told you don't need to use shampoo. You don't need to be washing your hair all the time with shampoo. It's bad for you, blah, blah, blah.
I'd be like, all right, Scott.
And I was like, just because we didn't do it before doesn't mean we don't have to do it now.
I mean, the reason...
Yeah. Like, we
so
also used to wash ourselves with piss.
The died of the fucking yeah. Black Plague was because they didn't wash themselves.
Exactly.
It hasn't worked
like,
out
I'm
well
for very
us.
Aware that fucking shampoo is a modern invention. Relax. Stresses me out. Anyway, moving forward.
So by the late 19th century, London was the largest capital city in the world.
City prosperous.
And it was the centre of the British Empire. So everything that was happening, it was all going down in London, right? But the class divide in London... it was jarring, right? So while you had areas in London's West End and it literally flourished with riches, music and concert halls, fancy restaurants pumping up, like, literally left, right and centre, this was bustling, but it stank of wealth and prestige.
Yeah.
But if you were to go just across the way to the East End, it might as well have been worlds away.
It's Phil Mitchell.
In the Queen Vic.
In the Queen Vic.
People in London's East End were often poor and starving, and they literally had to fight to get what little that they had. They would work long hours and in dangerous and unsanitary conditions just to barely make ends meet. And when I mean barely make ends meet, you couldn't have one person in the family working, like, even the kids were made work from a young age, so they didn't go to school. They weren't getting an education, because if they didn't go to work, families dying off in the street.
Exactly. They were being crushed in the linen factories.
Yeah.
Fuck.
In the mines. Suffocating. Yep. Crushed. So the wages were criminally low. And if you were lucky, you would find work down at the docks. The pay was better, but the docks was fucking dangerous, man. Like, the amount of people that would be coming in and out on the boats, either they'd be soldiers, they'd be merchants, or even people running away from home, people that were up to no good. People would just basically gather around the docks to scheme. They were, like, everything. The gambling, there was, like, fucking mafia men all down by it, so... good luck to you, basically. I think that's why that they paid them a bit better.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have to pay them for long after they got stabbed to death.
Exactly. Now, there are just under 1 million people living in London at the time, and a quarter of that population were crammed into the tiny district of Whitechapel. Like, it was not a big, massive district at all to be housing 250,000 people.
Fuck, Jesus. That's a lot of people.
So, obviously, there was extreme overcrowding. So because with the overcrowding, everything was fucking filthy. The living, working and sanitary conditions were in absolute hames, to say the least. So the place was like riddled with rats. And people would throw their waste, and by waste I mean shit, into the street because they had no plumbing system. They would carry cows and sheep through the streets of London, so you had their piss and shit. Man, it was absolute fucking filthy. Like, God forbid you had a cut. Like, you're getting sepsis and you're dying.
So, this might not be as interesting as I find it, but you know the term shit-faced?
Yes. No.
No!
Yes!
That's where it originates. So they set a time so that they weren't just flinging shit into the streets at all hours of the day. They would set a time to shit, to fling said shit, that everyone would do it. So if you stumbled on way home after the pub a bit late and you're hitting that curfew,
shit face. Please.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like, oh, you fall and land face first into shit.
I mean, no, you're getting shit flung into your face directly. Like, it's much worse.
That is disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting.
That's where that I was so fascinated. It could all be fake news. Because I did, I think, hear it on TikTok. But listen, TikTok hasn't led us too astray so far.
I'm choosing to believe it.
I'm choosing to believe it.
That's it. We've cemented it. It's now a fact.
Facts.
Whitechapel's roads, right, they were almost maze-like. And the buildings were so high up that you couldn't really see around street corners all too often. And any alleyways and courtyards that were there were only lit by a single gas lamp. So the streets were incredibly dark. So you didn't know what fucking monster or what weirdo was lurking in the shadows. Like, what I mean, I'm going to get into a bit of, like, what had happened later on, and you're going to be amazed at the fact that these cunts were not able to see something so clearly. So I'd love to know how dark the place actually was, because it upset me. It's insane. It sent me onto a bit of a rampage, to be honest. So I'm going to get into that later on.
You got to think of the smog blocking out the sun as well, Liz.
Oh, no, but, like, I suppose this was happening in, like... 3 o'clock in the morning, but still you have moonlight.
Not with the smog.
And not in fucking England either, when it's cloudy as hell as well.
Yeah, you got the smog clouds, the clouds, all the tall buildings, I could see it. But why are people not just automatically carrying the rustiest knife they own around with them?
Oh, these
if you don't kill the cunt with the stab, you kill him with the sepsis. Like,
it's like, I'm getting you, but in the future.
Yep.
So although some areas of Whitechapel were still relatively crime-free, like anywhere you go, I suppose, the slums were riddled with crime. Because you had people turning to tricks and making schemes, but they were doing that in order to survive. But then you had fucking snakes that were trying to take advantage of the poor people that were suffering there. So you had a lot of like wealthy gangs coming either from the south or from the west, coming and taking advantage of the poor in the east.
Like, Chalker.
Prats. A lot of them.
It's really shitty.
Bastards.
And around 15,000 of Whitechapel's residents were homeless and unemployed. And like, that's a massive population of homeless people in one tiny fucking district.
Yeah.
It's insane. And like, whatever money that they were able to get, either from begging or trying to get an odd job, if they were even able, sure, they pissed it all away on drink, because that was the only thing that was able to numb their miserable fucking existence. And I don't blame them.
No.
Like, yeah. Imagine the place was full of like pig and people shit, That's your house.
You have to live there. Yeah. Oh. And then you're living with fucking crazy Dave who talks about the aliens coming every second night.
Like being on edge all the time. Anytime you see a shadow coming around the corner, you don't know if that's going to be some crazy fuck waiting to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Like, I can just imagine the anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, I love how a lot of the times, like, this time period is, like, romanticised. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to go back then. No, the fuck I would not.
It's if you want to die by 25, I can help you out. Like, you don't need to time travel.
Honest to God.
Like, all they really had going for them was the fancy cool dresses.
That is literally it.
That's it. Like,
we do not... We miss that era. We do. Because I would love to be sauntering around in a dress of any description at all times. But that's it. Like, the tuberculosis, no thanks.
No thank you. Absolutely
the
not.
Shit in the streets, no thanks.
And
the dying of childbirth at 15, no thanks.
Right, when I say it was bad, these conditions were bad. Like, you could have 80 people in one shared lodging room. So just imagine a massive fuck-off shed. Kind of concentration campy. That's what I was making of it, but we'll gloss over that.
Yep.
Right? You could rent a bed that you would have to share with a stranger. Okay? So I'm not even talking about a big double bed, like queen bed. No, you could be renting a single bed with a weirdo.
That is such fanfic material. God knows fucking who.
It Wattpad, is.
Get on it.
Oh my God.
Girl.
But this is terrifying. Oh. But this is one. Now, I can promise you, this is going to be the most outlandish thing that you're going to hear today. Probably for the rest of the week, maybe your lives. This is how confident I am in this, right? For a tuppence, you could rent a rope that was suspended from the ceiling to the floor at an angle so you could sleep leaning against it, effectively acting as world's shittest fucking hammock. So you weren't touching the wall. You're having to balance between your shoulder blades. Can you imagine the scoliosis?
You had to pay to lean
against a rope.
I actually saw that. That's where the term like hanging comes from, because fucking sailors and shit, these people, I don't know where, they used to hang out like ropes, like tied them to the walls, and the sailors used to drape themselves over them, like as in the rope would be in their middle and they'd hang over the rope, and then in the morning time someone would come out and cut the ropes and they'd all hit, like, obviously hit the ground, and that would be their like alarm call. And they'd go off back to their ship then.
That is mental. Oh. Like, why?
My God.
Imagine renting a fucking rope.
But these people, then, once they had this, they technically had a roof over their head, so they weren't considered homeless.
Right. Okay.
That's how that works.
It's like, you have a roof over your head and a rope under your arse. What more do you want?
Like, it's literally like having a bike shed. You know, just like a bit of, like, well, genuine. It wasn't perspex, but just like a covering over the top.
But it definitely was even, like, a nice
totally
rope.
Exposed to the elements. No, that yoke was cutting
it
into
it. It definitely was,
stuff.
Like, you know, the really scratchy, like...
Oh, 100%.
Actually making ribbons out of you. Like, you couldn't even twitch. Like, imagine you just turned over a bit. Sure, your face fucking first on the ground.
Honest God. Fuck that nonsense.
Stupid. And although it was no doubtably hard for men to survive, of course it's obviously going to be worse for the fucking women, God love us. So we know women barely had rights to do anything. As was. But they struggled to find work. So your options were really limited. So they had either service maids, barmaids, you're working in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't allowed to be educated, really, either, unless you had money.
No. Christ, no.
No. So these women then, a lot of time, have to turn to sex work in order to survive or for, you know, feeding their family. And at the time, there were noted 1,200 sex workers in the Whitechapel area alone, but experts believe that is going to be way higher. So they're only the amount of women that, just say, would have had, like, a criminal record for prostitution.
Right,
or
yes.
Would have been known, have, like, freely admitted...
That had been caught, kind of.
That they were
whatever.
Sex workers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so many.
So if you had a lot of women that were hiding this, there's God knows how many more.
Honestly,
how
God.
Is there enough business to keep them all going as well? Like, that's the thing.
Because men will never not be horny.
Yeah. And don't forget, if you're... I say a lot of these women would have went down by the docks and everything, where you had people, like, passing in.
Coming in and out.
Yeah.
And... coming in and out.
But there was also a lot of soldiers stationed here, because if this was the centre of the British Empire, the place is riddled with.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't any shortage.
And then you've all the cunts coming through to make trade as
well.
Yeah, true.
So these women were... I need to start that again. I had a stroke in the middle of that. I'm so sorry. These women were society's forgotten, and whatever sex worker was ever murdered, it was never reported in the newspaper. Like, literally nobody gave a singular
fuck.
No, they didn't care.
Yeah. No.
And so these women were never protected, which led to countless of them being subjected to physical attacks by customers, which was also one of the leading factors as to why Jack the Ripper invaded the police, because so many of these sex workers were being murdered.
Ladies of the night has always yeah. been my preferred term.
But a lot of them were being murdered, but the police didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So it wasn't being reported, so a lot of the people in like the London areas would have known too much about what was going on. Sure, you can't drum up support for these people if you don't know what's happening.
Because wasn't sex work illegal still?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, so that was just one less criminal on their hands as far as they were concerned.
They did not give a fuck. Only when things started getting too messy. And by messy, I mean full on displayed.
Yeah.
What state these women were going to leave you traumatised. Like, if they were simply, like shot, strangled, whatever. They didn't give a shit.
Yeah, just shoved in the corner of a dark alley, it would have been fine.
Yeah. They didn't give a fuck. So anyway, now that we've covered all the misery, should we move on to the death?
The fun part.
The fun part, exactly. So, 11 separate murders of sex workers were committed in Whitechapel from the 31st of April, 1888 to February 13th, 1891. However, 5 of these murders would only be known as the canonical 5, which were widely believed to be the victims of Jack the Ripper. And the thing with the Ripper murders are, look, they weren't simply killed with an owl stab a stab, an owl slashy slash. It was literally, destroy these women. Literally, he would destroy these women. And I seen pictures of them online.
Yeah.
And thank God they're in black and white, because you lose detail. Do not recommend looking it up. Very traumatizing. But anyway. So they would have excessive stab wounds around their abdomen, their face, their genital area, and some of their organs were even removed. Like, when I mean he butchered these women like they were pigs, he fucking butchered them. But there's...
worse, you'd at least handle a pig's carcass with care.
Yeah. This cunt, he just did not care. There's one victim, right, out of that original 11, that I really, really struggled to see how the police did not group her in with the canonical 5. And I want to see if you'd agree with me as well, right?
Okay.
And that would be 39-year-old sex worker Martha Tabram, right? So the night before her murder on August 8, 1888, Martha was drinking in the Angel and Crown public house. And she was there to say about 11 o'clock at night. And she was there with another sex worker, and they had 2 soldier clients with them. So, you know, they were in there having an old drink before they went to conduct business.
Yeah. To seal the deal.
Exactly. So the 4 of them paired off and parted ways at about 11:45. But Martha and her client leading towards a narrow alleyway by the George Yard building. So they were basically, they're just flats, but the locals just referred to them as the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And they were connecting Wentworth and Whitechapel Street. And in the early hours of the following morning, a resident of the buildings, Mrs. Hewitt, was awoken by what she called cries of murder. However, with spousal abuse practically being written into your marriage contract at the time, poor Mrs. Hugh just thought she was, like, hearing a domestic. Like, she just thought, like, husband and wife were just baiting shy out of each other. And violent shouts of that kind were extremely common. And like I said, everybody was practically living on top of each other in the Whitechapel area because of the overcrowding. So you basically always heard other people's business but still minded your own. So if you did hear shouting, you'd be like, oh, they're fucking out again. But you wouldn't mention it. And if anybody came knocking asking about it, I heard nothing.
Course.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Live too close quarters to be a rat.
Mm-hmm. And at 2 a.m., 2 residents, John, or no, not John, but Joseph, and Elizabeth Mahoney returned to the buildings, and they didn't see anything out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But simultaneously, P.C. Barnett was patrolling the area, and he spotted a grenader in and around the building. So a grenader was basically a soldier whose job it was to just horse grenades at people. And then
right,
Lizzie's dream.
I could do that.
That were these great, and these were well paid.
Honestly,
these were well paid.
I get it, because you could blow up at any fucking time. But like
proper grenades are just like a good time. Gas bombs.
Proper grenades, I'd imagine. They were really fond of blowing people up.
No, full on grenades, like
They were full on blowing like people chick, the chick, fuck boom. Up, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like, you're turning someone into, like, mulch.
What the fuck?
This is what their job was, right? So he was just like, what are you doing here? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Because he knew the soldier wouldn't have been staying in that area. Because, like, sure, they're either back in the barracks or they're at the Tower of London. Because that's where all the soldiers were said. So they're like, what are you doing here? In a poor area, well, you're well paid. We can only guess, right? Wink, wink. Because he was, like, suspiciously standing, I suppose. So he was like, okay, tell me your business. What are you doing here? The soldier then claimed, oh, I'm just waiting on a friend.
Oh.
A friend.
A friend.
Sure. Sure, pal. I didn't realise you paid your friends. Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, he said, look, once I meet my friend, I'll be on my way. So PC Barnett, he was like, right, okay, whatever. More important things to be doing. And at 3:30 a.m, a resident called Albert George Crowe returned back to the buildings after he just finished his shift as a cabbie. And he noticed someone lying down on the landing of the first, just say, set of stairs. However, but because the place was so poorly lit, he thought it was just a sleeping vagrant. And on he went. It wouldn't be until 5 a.m. that a resident called John Reeves realised the sleeping vagrant was indeed a woman that had been noticeably, horrifically murdered. Obviously, that was poor Martha, right?
Because we all bleed in our sleep.
A doctor was sent for to examine the body, and after conducting a quick examination, he concluded that Martha had died within the last 2 to 3 hours. So she had died just between Joseph and Elizabeth coming home, when the copper then was with the soldier, and then obviously your man who thought that she was just a sleeping homeless person on the fucking stairs.
Right, yes.
And Martha had been stabbed a total of 39 times, which included 9 times to the throat, 5 times in the left lung, twice in the right lung, once in her heart, 5 times in her liver, twice in her spleen, and the remaining 6 divided by her lower abdomen and her genitals.
Fuck. What the fuck?
This was a savage overkill. Completely.
And the pinpoint of the important organs as well is unbelievable.
Thank you. And this is important to remember, because this is what fucked me off. I'm going to get into it in a bit, but actually, no, fuck it, I'll say it now. Right.
Too important.
Martha was considered a ripper victim because her throat wasn't slit like the rest of the others. But her injuries...
But it was stabbed 9 times.
Yeah, thank you. But her injuries, as in the rest of them, are nearly exact to where the other victims had been stabbed. And nearly to the same amount of time. So it's like, how can you not consider her a victim just because she was stabbed instead of fucking slashed across her neck? Like, you had the genital mutilation and everything.
No, like, and it's still him going for the throat, like, it's still...
Exactly.
You know, he's still going for the neck, like, whether or not it's a stabbing motion or, like, a cutting motion, it's the same, you know. It's not the same, but it's...
You're still doing the same amount of damage.
Yeah, and it's still localised to that area as well.
Yeah.
Where a lot of it was focused.
9 like, stab wounds to the
He
throat.
Could have just been more pissed off that day, and instead of one slash across the ways, he just decided to keep stabbing until he split it open that way.
Yeah.
And do they know where the throat wounds before or after the, like, body wounds? Do they know that?
I think it was the throat first, given how... To say the amount, the way the blood basically pooled around the body, like a lot of it was coming from the neck. Like, I know you've your major, like, arteries and stuff, but with the rest of them, it seems kind of like the blood had already gone by the time.
Well, maybe he was just kind of figuring out how he liked to do it. Like, I know that sounds fucking disgusting, but like.
But that is it.
Like, he kind of like, he just went a bit, he went ape, like, and just went for her.
Yeah.
And
then
after the rest of them, he was like, I'll do this first.
Yeah.
And certain women, for whatever reason, could have caused more
of a
stress or aggravation or whatever.
Yeah.
So it requires then a different level of aggression in the attack.
And she also, was she not stabbed like 9 times in the neck? Like, it might have been possible that she was cut, but it was kind of covered up nearly with actual stab wounds.
Like, she could have been trying to block it from slashing, but he could have been stabbing downward.
Yeah.
Trying to get at her.
And job good enough done, like, doesn't need to be slashed after it's been stabbed through 9 times. Also the lungs, the heart and the liver.
Yeah.
She was never going to survive.
Absolutely not.
Fucking hell. Mm-hmm. She must have had broken ribs and everything, like, for that to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She was in bits, like.
That's awful.
And the doctor concluded that the knife wounds were consistent of that of a dagger. Like, it was a hefty enough knife. So it could have been that, not that it would have been dulled, but I don't know, like, if he was going to slash at her neck, I don't, maybe it was easier for him to, like, stab instead of slash.
Yeah, if there's more weight than the usual knife, maybe it was a different knife trying out or whatever.
It's always the way,
anything
though,
could have happened.
Like, killers kind of figure out their MO as they go as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. And just say, like, before the first official victim, this one would have been, like, Martha's murder would have been before that. So
yeah,
well,
I think
it could have been
sussing it out, like, and seeing what he liked.
Seeing what he liked, yeah.
Because
exactly,
it makes sense as well to, like, you know, cut their throats first, because it kind of, he can kind of, you know.
Well, they can't scream.
Yeah,
yeah.
In a building block full of people, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What the fuck?
He's a So it's unknown if sexual assault or consensual sex had taken place, as in, like, could he have murdered her after
he'd hired her?
They had already done the nasty.
Yeah. But her dress had been pulled up just above her stomach, so.
Well, that could have just been him.
You could assume. Yeah. He could have been posing it either. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't, because they're the people he was targeting, like, that's. He was probably trying to shame her as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And not being funny. And this is going to sound fucking awful. But given the time when bats weren't all that common, you're kind of guaranteed to find some sort of semen on a sex worker at all times of the day.
Yeah.
So it's not like they can be like, oh, well, we found semen, so there was sex around such and such. Like, no, that could be there.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. And I'd say that probably was, because they said they couldn't find conclusive evidence, so there probably was evidence there.
Yeah.
Just.
Not anything they could actually narrow down. Exactly. So, because again, if we are going to ear onto the side of Jack being Jacqueline, bit of a problem there.
Yeah.
Like, she had a miraculously long clitoris.
Ew.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
You never know. Hermaphrodite of the day.
So remember the patrol in Copper, PC Barnett, that had reported the incident of the suspicious standing soldier? Well, he was sent then to the Tower of London that was housing the soldiers at the time, and he basically was to pick out the soldier out of a lineup that he had questioned to come in for further questioning. Because, like, he was standing around acting a bit sus as fuck. And if she was killed within that time frame, one could only assume he might have seen something and might have done it himself.
Exactly. Makes sense.
So he goes, picks a soldier out of the lineup, but also he immediately changes his mind and asks could he pick again, because he noticed a soldier from the lineup. He was basically decorated in service medals, but he then remembers the light run soldier. Well, he didn't have any. So he was either only after starting out, or he wasn't very good.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have military medals like that for service, you're going to wear them on your uniform as, like, an act of fucking pride and joy.
Yeah.
Like, they mean a lot to them, so of course you're going to wear them. They're not going to take them off just so you can go get your hole.
Yeah. No. Definitely not. Although, in case you're worried that she'd steal it.
Maybe, but why? What would she get for it?
Who knows?
Mm, true. So PC Barnett, right, he was allowed to pick another soldier out of the lineup, but this time the soldier that he had picked had a solid alibi, and he belonged to a completely different regiment than the one that he had met, so his uniform basically didn't match the grenadier's uniform.
Right.
So it couldn't have been him. But he was also away in the barracks at the time, so it wasn't him. So PC Barnett, given two chances, he fucked up twice. So they were basically like, get the fuck out. You're useless. You're a waste of time and a waste of space. So he wasn't even allowed to go near this investigation anymore, because I feel like he kind of made a slight bollock in it already.
Yeah, that's fair, in fairness. Like, if you can't even remember the face of someone that was that suspicious, when your whole job is to remember the faces of suspicious people.
And we only would have been in with the last 6 hours. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it was 2 weeks ago.
No, come on now, PC. So, the sex worker that Martha was with in the Angel and Crown, they eventually figured out who she was, and she was brought into the tower to see if she could identify the two soldiers that herself and Martha had conducted business with that night.
Yes.
So she picks out these two soldiers from the Coldstream Guard Regiment. But after a very quick investigation, it showed that these men both had alibis. One was at home far away with the missus and the other one was in the barracks. So it wasn't either of them. So they're like, right, okay, well, she's fucking useless now as well. No leads. No evidence, no leads.
Wonderful.
So no suspect was ever arrested or ever even fucking questioned for Martha's murder. So given now that you know how savagely this woman was murdered, would you group her in with the canonical five?
Yes!
Thank you!
100%!
It's ridiculous. It made me so mad. I was like, these are just lazy bastards now. Guarantee you, because this would have been like the first, but definitely not the first.
The first. Yeah.
Just for an arst. I'm like, because they had left it so long to try and figure out and investigate, they didn't want to admit to that embarrassment that, oh yeah, well, we've let another one slip through the fucking cracks.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. Plus, they were like, ah, five is like a nice number. Like, the
canonical five
is just
nice.
The perfect amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go on to the Ripper's first official victim, but like, we've literally just been saying, even if poor Martha could have been grouped in with the canonical five, there's no way that his first victim or her were really his first victim.
No.
No, you do not graduate to that level of savagery.
No.
It won't go.
Even to know to take out the throat so that they can't scream. That takes a hot minute. Like, you gotta fuck up before you succeed.
That's practice. And in April 1888, 43-year-old Mary Ann, or she was commonly known as Polly Nichols, she'd run away from her husband because she suspected him of having an affair with the nurse that helped deliver her kids.
Oh, fuck.
He was a ratbag bitch, and I do not blame her for running away. She left him with the rest of the kids. Like, you can fucking look after him.
Fuck him and everything about him. That's the most cunty thing I've ever heard in my life.
Isn't it?
Of all things, of all people, like, rude.
The nurse that helped bring your child into the world. Get away from me. I'd be taking him out of it if I were her.
Yeah, anyway, I would have just fucking run away.
I don't advocate for murder, but just saying. So after running away, she became a domestic servant to a Mr. and Mrs. Chowdhury, a wealthy couple from Wandsworth in the South London. Now, even though the Chowdhurys, right, they paid her very well, they were pleasant enough to work for, but they were very religious and they were teetotalers. Mary Ann was a raging alcoholic, right? So I think she just found them a bit too preachy. Like, they were always trying to...
Yeah.
Try give her advice and spiritual advice, trying to get her off to drink, but she wasn't fucking having it. So she just kind
of
took what she could, like money wise. And they did, they parted on good terms, but she just, it wasn't the environment for her to be in. So she returns to her former profession as a sex worker and moves to 56 Flower and Dean Street, Whitechapel on August 24th. So she's after moving here now, 3 weeks to say after Martha's been murdered, right?
Right, okay.
And approximately 11 p.m. on August 30th, so not long at all, this poor woman was fucking there for 6 days.
6 days.
Yep. So she was seen in the Frying Pan public house in Spitalfield. Terrible name.
You're going down to the Frying Pan in Spittal, are you?
It's so disgusting, please.
Awful.
So she was seen leaving about 12:30 at night time. And by the time she finally made it back to her lodgings on Flower and Dean Street, it was about 1:30 in the morning. But when she got there, she was seen by the housekeeper, who was basically up waiting for her because Mary Ann had not given the housekeeper her money to save for her bed.
Right. I see.
So the, you know, housekeeper was asking for it. Mary Ann was on, well, I'm just after pissing it all away in the frying pan. I don't fucking have it now. Obviously, then the housekeeper's leaving and she's like, get the fuck out. Mary Ann, not a bother to her. She simply just fucking laughed. Because what she did was, she kind of motioned to her new black velvet bonnet. Very fancy. She would have spent a decent bit amount of money on it, but you know, she had to be looking well to get that money, you know?
Of course.
And she said, I'll soon get my DOS money. See what a jolly bonnet I've got now. So DOS money is kind of a reference to like a derogatory term that rich people would have used to call cheap housing. They would have called it a DOS house. So that's just what DOS money meant, just cheap accommodation money, basically.
Right, okay.
So with that, Mary Ann was just basically saying, right, she's going out with the intention of getting that money for her bed through sex work.
Yes.
So just under an hour later, Mrs. Ellen Holland, also a sex worker and one of Mary Ann's BFFs, So she met Marianne at the corner of Whitechapel Road and Osborne Street. So Ellen was basically just on her way back from the docks because there was a massive fire and she was just being a bit of a nose cow, wanted to see what was going on. So on the way back,
us.
Yeah, literally us. That's when she bumps into Marianne.
Mm.
But God bless, poor Marianne was physically in a shambles, right, lads? She was locked. She was locked. So the two of them chatted at the corner, just say for about 9 to 10 minutes, when the clock on St. Mary's Chapel struck 12:30 and the alarm bell, or not the alarm bells, oh my God, it's not a fucking fire. The church bell, it just rang religiously, beautifully. I don't know what the fuck church chimes do. Anyway.
the church bells rang religiously. What is this, like, third year English?
I don't know. Anyway,
as the church bells rang religiously,
so I'm getting warm now. Hey, so
I'm weak.
Seeing that Marianne was clearly, she was in a bad way.
Yeah, drank too much of the body, the blood of Christ, if you will.
Ellen tried to get Marianne to go home with her, so she could mind her, like. However, Marianne, she was adamant that she had to earn her DOS money because basically if she didn't go back within the day, any of her belongings would have been fucked out in the middle of the street and surely wouldn't have lasted long there because somebody would have flogged it by then.
Of course.
So she said to her, I had my DOS money and my lodging money 3 times today and I've spent it. It won't be long before I'm back. And with that, they separated. So she basically, right. She got it each time and then went and got pissed with money each time. God love her.
She's living life.
Look, living life.
She's
to the
living
fullest.
Life.
Living life to the fullest. Yep. Maybe not for long.
Who are we to judge?
And at approximately 3:40 in the morning on Friday the 31st of August, a carman by the name of Charles Cross, right, he was walking down a narrow cobbled road in Bucks Row in Whitechapel. He was on the way to work and usually he would have met up with a friend of his and the two of them had walked together. But when Charles reached the end of the row, he noticed something rather large lying on the ground opposite him. And he wasn't fat shaming, like, he just thought it was like a tarp. But he got to the middle of the road when he realised, like, oh shit, that's not a fucking tarp, man.
That's a person. It's a whole person.
So his pal...
Well, maybe not whole.
No, definitely not, no. One that's in ribbons. So his pal... Robert Paul, I hate that. Can I just say a first name, last name? It's disgusting. Stop doing it.
It stresses me out.
Pick one.
But they had kind of met then at the junction and Robert had come up to him, put the hand on the shoulder and said, come and look over here. There's a woman lying on the pavement. But the two lads just thought that, right, this one's after getting locked. She's after passing out. What do we do? Because they noticed that her skirt was kind of...
up again.
Yeah, oops. It was up a bit, right? Which amazes me how they were able to see this and not other very important details that I will mention now in a minute. But anyway, I'll say that for now in a few minutes. But they'd gone over to her, right, just to make sure, you know, she was all right. Charlie had grabbed her hand, but it was cold. And he told Robert, like, I think she's dead. Robert wasn't entirely sure because even though, yeah, her face and her hands were a bit cold, he basically put his face to hers just to see if he could hear her breathing. Do you know, like, put his ear to her to see if he can even hear, like, the faintest bit of breath coming from.
Right.
But he swore, he's like, oh, I think there's a breath there, but if it is, it's very faint.
Yeah.
Robert suggested that they should pick her up off the road, but poor Charlie was like, I am not fucking touching her, are you serious? Like, Mam is completely freaked out. He was not about it. And thank God he listened to his intuition. But, like I said, the pair managed to miss a major detail. Because, well, yes, Charlie was right in his assumption that, you know, this woman was dead. Robert, stupid bastard, by putting his face to her body, missed the major detail that, while obviously this is Marianne BT Dubs, you know, he would have seen that her head was near decapitated.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that can be easily missed.
It's one of those things just you mightn't see. Just a small area. Proper detail.
Yeah, like...
Exactly.
I mean, it was cut so severely, her throat, that was barely hanging on by a fucking thread. But look.
When there's Fanny on display, you're not looking at the neck, Lizzie.
And lads, I know it was fucking dark out. That's what I meant earlier on, like, I know it was dark, but how fucking dark is it that you can't see? You could see across the road that it was a woman lying in the middle of the fucking street, but you can't see when you're on top of the cunt that her head's hanging off.
In all fairness.
I don't understand. It made me irate. Made me irate. I'm like, you're clearly lying, lads.
Yeah.
You don't want to be implicated in this murder. You're fucking lying.
I didn't know she was dead, did I?
I thought she was alive. But in what I think is a little bit of a shithead move, they couldn't see a constable anywhere, right? Despite it being fucking pitch black. I don't think they even bothered looking. But they were both late for work now because poor Mary Ann had inconvenienced them with her dead body. So they decided to head on their way to work. And if they so happened to see a police constable, they'd mention it to him.
I like that you pronounce it as constable. Big fan.
That was... I fucked up. Anyway...
It was intentional. Shush.
That's what I mean. Oh my god. Totally was. So they eventually ran into PC Mitson. And they told him, look, we're after seeing a woman lying on the ground. Charlie said, look, I think she's dead. He thinks she's alive. You may go check it out. But in the meantime, Marianne's body had already been discovered by a PC, John Neal. First name, last name again. I'm begging. So this time, the PC, well, he had a lantern with him, obviously, because he had to be able to look out for the crime and whatnot.
Of course.
And he...
Crime needs to be well lit.
And he was able to see just what state Mary Ann's body was in. So he noted that her hands were open, laying down by her side. Her legs were lying flat, but slightly parted. Mary Ann's eyes were wide open... So I still don't know how Robert didn't fucking see any eye level with the bitch.
Honest to God.
Well, she had bled out. Oh, lads, it just made me irate. Like, how fucking stupid.
She's literally looking
she's
back at you.
Not
like.
Blinking. And not, like a fucking fly is probably crawling across her eyelid.
I don't know, man. I think she's breathing.
Stupid. Oh, am I right now? So basically, she had bled that excessively that her blood had pooled all underneath her, like soaking into the back of her dress, nearly going down to the very bottom of her back, and she also bled into the street. Yet again, don't know how they did not stand in a massive pool of blood that was surrounding this woman. Anyway. So obviously the police officer then was like trying to check around the body to see if he could see any other stab wounds. Obviously he saw them, but he noticed her face and her hands were cold, but when he went to move her arm a bit, he noticed that her arms, like the top of her arms, were still really warm.
Oh, what?
She was not long gone at all. And down by her side then was lying her fancy new bonnet that she had bought.
Bless.
So the doctors were sent out, right, to carry out an examination and cart the body away just, you know, before people started to rise from their sleep and were fucking traumatised by the sight in front of them. And PC John Neal and Sergeant Kirby, so they went around knocking door to door, waking people up and like, did you hear anything? Like, a body's been found... Very important, obviously. Can you tell us anything? Could you have seen anything suspiciously? Because people would have been working nights as well and would have been kind of coming to and fro at all hours of the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could kind of assume somebody might have passed something on the way, even to give them a time that they might have seen her at, to know if she was already on the ground at that point.
Yeah.
But nobody had heard or saw a thing. Not one. So the pair then returned to the crime scene and began their investigation. Absolutely no evidence, like no foot impressions or anything. If he did like step in her blood as he walked
away. Yeah.
Nothing like that. Nothing.
Fuck, man.
And nobody had saw anything. It was very poorly lit as well. And this name that I'm absolutely going to butcher, so sorry to anybody that's Welsh or listens to us that lives in Wales. His name is Dr. Rhys Ralph. I'm going to say Ilwin. That's probably wrong. I'm only saying it once and I won't be repeating it. I'll just be referring to him as the doctor from now on. So he carried out the preliminary examinations in the back of a medical cart, by the way, not even in the mortuary. I find that slightly disrespectful. But look, desperate times, desperate measures.
It's just the portable mortuary, that's all. It's just the pocket size one.
That's actually fair.
It's on the road. Because realistically, they had the same sanitation and fucking level of equipment. Mm-hmm. So
he basically gave a quick check, but he noticed that her body and her legs were still very warm. So he surmised that she'd only been dead for half an hour.
Jesus.
She'd only been dead, yeah.
So wait, so your man was actually right, though? She was alive when...
She could have been.
He was there.
She could have been,
yeah.
But...
Jesus.
Look. So the fact that they were literally just on the way to work, like, if they would have been, I'd say, even 5 minutes earlier, they could have seen who had attacked her.
Yeah. Genuinely.
Like, if the two boys on the way to work, they definitely could have. Maybe even fucking 2 minutes, because if that had all happened that quickly... Because basically this doctor said that, well, how precise her injuries were, the attack could have been taken out within 4 minutes.
Honestly.
So that's how quick it would have, or how easily it would have been to, like, kill her, essentially, if they knew what they were doing. Which it seemed like that they did. And I have the report of what good old doctor said happened to poor fucking Marianne.
Here we go. Here's the gory details.
So her throat had been cut from left to right, two distinct cuts being on the left side, the windpipe, gullet and spinal cord being cut through. A bruise apparently of a thumb being on her right lower jaw, also one on left cheek. The abdomen had been cut open from the centre of the bottom of the ribs along the right side. She'd been stabbed in her pelvis from left then to the right of the stomach. The wound jagged, the ottoman... No, that's not it. I need to say that bit again. Oh my fucking God, not the Ottoman fucking Empire. What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm just going to, like, quickly gloss over that. Basically, it's just the coating of the stomach. For us, her intestines is what they are, these. The wound jagged... I forgot the word. It was the fucking intestines. Oh my goodness. I'm nearly there. Like, what is wrong with me? Right, okay. I need, like, a hot second. Okay. The wound jagged. The small intestine. No, not the fucking small intestine.
Oh my God.
I am leaving all of this in.
No, you're not. I will kill myself. No, you won't. I'm just going to write it on it. Because if I write it on it, I won't fucking not say it. And now I have tears in my eyes.
The small ottoman intestine.
Oh, right. Oh shit.
A bit more miserable saying this. Can't be laughing. My God. So the wound jagged. The intestines... Please give me fucking rest. Can I not?
So writing it down didn't work, is it?
Okay, so the wound jagged, the intestines and the stomach cut into several... No, I'm... I got the intestines... Right, no, I'm actually getting fucking tick of myself now. Right, okay. The wound jagged, the intestine and stomach cut in several parts, two small stab wounds on her private parts, all apparently done with a strong bladed knife, supposed to have been done by someone left-handed, and the death being instantaneous. He had also noted that the killer must have had some rough anatomical knowledge, because the way that he had pinpointed his attacks, he knew to go for the kill straight away. Like you had mentioned earlier on, Savannah, there was no way these women would have lived with a stab wound to any of these places.
So and he combined them
exactly,
all.
Exactly, and he pinpointed them to such an accuracy that he pierced every single one of them. And then he just carved up the fucking body for all to see. So he essentially, like, he ripped open her abdomen up to her breastbone, nearly cut the fucking head off her, and her intestines fell out. I could have just said that instead of that big long thing and having me in her tizzy. Oh my God. When in Rome.
I'm still, still thinking about the two lads just, like, having, basically sniffing her eyeballs, not noticing that she was looking back at them, and that her intestines could be used as a skipping rope at anyone's convenience.
Yeah. Like, so I forgot to mention this part, but do you know the way how I said her skirt was up? It was up towards her stomach, so maybe the skirt could have been covering that. But then when they had...
Oh, that's true.
They had... When they were going to leave to go to work, because her skirt was up, we're like, oh God, we may, you know, conserve her modesty or whatever, and pulled her skirt down. Mm-hmm. So it was back down to her ankle. So surely they would have heard the squeals of fucking intestines slapping off the floor.
Honestly, though.
That's what I thought.
That's, yeah, sus.
It's a bit,
to be honest. Sus AF.
And like, nobody really knew then what to do, so they kind of made a call out to local sex workers in the area, because obviously they kind of garnered that's what Marianne was. Basically asking if people were missing a friend, or if they knew somebody that they hadn't heard of. But within 24 hours, Ellen, Marianne's friend that she was with on the night, she had come down to the police station because she knew that Marianne was in her ribbons, and she kind of just got a bad feeling that something happened, and she thought it was Marianne. Unfortunately, it was, and so she was formally identified as then. And people thought maybe it could have been the estranged husband, that he was so angry that she had left him and was apparently spreading false rumours about his adulterous ways. Wasn't adulterous, man definitely fucking did it. But he was still nowhere near Whitechapel or anywhere like that for him to even be considered a suspect for the murder.
Yeah.
Sure, no witnesses, so police didn't know what the fuck to do.
Of course. What do you do in that instance, like?
And then that's going to be when Jack runs on to victim number two that we'll be getting into.
Woo! Oh, that means it's my turn again.
It does.
God damn it. It's really weird. I was thinking this. I was like, wait a minute. I feel like Lizzie's moving very quickly with the story. And then I realised why. And it's like, it's something that should have occurred to me before we started recording, but it just didn't. It was like, we don't have an early life. We don't have, his parents did such and such. He fell out the window 17 times. He drank bleach.
Like, well, that's why I had to give off about the fucking State of London for like 4 pages. Like, this place was shithole.
I completely forgot it. I was like, oh God, this is such a weird episode because we don't have that.
We don't have a background that we usually always do.
Yeah, that we can try to pick apart with our no knowledge of anything that's actually of importance to detectives.
Our psychology,
we would have tried.
There.
We give it our best go. But I still, but I don't see.
There is literally loads of theories and about possible suspects after ye do the murder. So there'll be plenty to split between the two of ye. Because this is just a shortened down version of what had gone down. Like, the amount of detail I did fucking skip because I wasn't bothered. Because I was like, I can't be giving off about the fucking State of London for 4 or 5 fucking pages and then come at them with this bollocks. It just, it wouldn't have been it. It would have been too much like a history lesson, I suppose. And no.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I mean, there are certain things we just don't bring up on a podcast because they're not necessary to the main flow of the story, the main knowledge of it. I mean, yeah, you can always have more information on the people that were killed and like what fucking, whether Venus was in fucking retrograde or not. Like, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We want to know about the crime and we want to pretend we know who did it, because we will just pick someone at random throughout the story and be like, do you know what? I think it was that lad.
Oh my God. No, that's a terrible idea. We'd get derailed. Ignore me. I had a thought, but it's not important.
But I kind of want to know now.
I was going to say, like, see, it'd only be fun for us to do. Like, we couldn't have the listeners do it because they'd be like, you stupid bastards. We basically pick a suspect each and then do like a PowerPoint presentation as to why we think we're right. And we have to like fight.
I mean, mine would be very short because it would just be because I am.
And next, like, next style, because why? And that's why.
Yeah. I mean, obviously getting to the theories about who he was is our ultimate goal here with this episode, because, like, again, we are just talking about someone very well known that everyone knows all the details of already. We're getting to the fun stuff. We're getting to the conspiracies. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to take a hot second to formally apologise that I accidentally left my office door open when we started recording, and thus the entirety of Marley screaming to be brought up to bed.
I didn't even notice.
She was screaming the whole time and I didn't even realise.
Do you know what? Because we're so used to hearing the bastard anytime we're on like a normal chat, we just block it out like childhood fucking trauma. So we don't even hear it anymore.
No,
I am so annoyed
because
I haven't been able to close the door. Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be the same for the listeners. I mean, I can go in and turn him down somewhat as well.
Oh, it's fine.
I apologise for my squawky.
It'll make it feel more
turn
like
into a chicken nugget next time I'm there.
They'll get to experience what me and Lizzie experience every day.
Yeah.
Like, they got to experience
Is it worse than Spooky's fucking paws?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'd say they're evenly matched because the squawk is so piercing that it makes me want to like shove a pencil up my nose and like whack my head off a desk.
And it's very consistent as well. It's when almost we're in like the room. It's almost like a fire, you know, the fire alarms. When
yes.
Like, when it's like out of batteries and it's like beep.
Yes, the beep.
Oh my god. Yep.
They are, I mean, yes, because he is consistently trying to tell us things because he, you know, he's antisocial and doesn't speak, and yeah, he just did it again. So that's, he's literally trying to tell me he needs to go to bed. And I can't go down because we're wrapping up the podcast. But yeah, normally, lately I've been very good at keeping him out of the podcast, but tonight was just not one of those such lucky situations. So I apologise. Yeah, he is a nightmare. He is an absolute nightmare, but we're stuck with him for the next, I think, 20 years
at least.
Please
don't count down its day. I know, I was like, I fucking hate thinking I'm going to turn him into a chicken wing, but he's like your pet. I feel like you shouldn't do that.
He is not my pet. He is David's pet. I tolerate and feed the cunt. I make sure he doesn't die. That's it.
It's more than he deserves, but anyway.
Exactly. I give him a nice life for how much of a dick he is.
Yeah, listen,
to me.
I'm on the same boat with Luna. It's like, just, why are you such an asshole when I'm only nice to you?
Yeah, exactly. Animals, man. But we he flew us into a very fucking different track from what we were talking about. But the Ripper series has turned out to be quite short episodes, so that's good as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll give us the stamina we need once we're done with the Ripper series to move on to something big and awful.
Yeah,
yeah, we want to do something really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just a nice
like,
little
want,
fun
like,
vacation for us because we get to talk about something that's
like
chill.
Dean
Coral
level thing now would be, I feel like, is on the cards. I know.
Yeah.
But it is.
But like, can we get Dean Coral for adults? Like, you know.
I was going to say Andrea Ciccatillo, but he did it to kids as well. So probs not. Yeah.
If we could at least get, like, not primarily
oh,
a
then
child
him.
Murderer. Yeah.
The Russian
him
fella.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, he's a disgusting piece of shit. So.
Yeah, he is in the colouring book you
he
gave
really
me that
was
time.
A piece of shit.
Oh, he was.
Sorry. I looked like a straight up fucking crazy person that one time. Radic walked in and I was, like, watching, like, a documentary about each person that, like, I was colouring in. So I was just there, like, with a colouring book, like, and my pencils, colouring in. And, like, he killed, like, 18 people.
Oh, my God, that's actually a great fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idea.
Or colour as you watch. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the one, he walked in on me colouring the one in about the granny who was, like, putting the pins into kids and stuff. Do you know that one? What was her name?
Who? Wait, who?
She put the pins... She put a pin into the kids' heads and stuff. Sorry now, but
is she the one who recently died of COVID, or is
I
that
don't
the
know.
One who
Do you know the lady?
Is that the giggling granny?
Yeah, probably. She killed a load of random kids for like no reason.
I think it's her.
I'm unsure. We have so many more disturbing things we could be talking about right now, but yet we chose the Ripper series, and somehow this isn't disturbing enough for us. And isn't that really just
how do you
like the amount? Yeah,
yeah,
we're awful people.
Mental illness. But it's fine, I had this conversation.
It's my strongest trait. I'm like, that goes into that box.
Yep, never to be heard from again.
And then you have a sad shower and it's like, let's have a look in this one.
Oh my,
No, for me it's like something very small happens. Like I light the wrong side of my fag. So I light the filter and... And that'll be it. That just triggers my depression spiral for the day, and I start thinking about all the horrible things.
Recently,
in the world,
I'm
like, "Oh, I'm that's where
really
that went."
Time because it's like you know, intrusive thoughts, but it's like intrusive memories where it's like, "Here are 40." Like it's like a blooper of like my embarrassing moments. It's fucking awful, and I'm just lying here like twitching. I'm like,
no, honestly,
genuinely, and you're like, why? Why now is that appearing
and
in my
actually
brain?
Like, you know, and it's actually like you nearly flinch.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh, fuck off.
Yes. Once again, anyone smarter than us, can we please have...
Diagnosis.
Like, we have the explanation for the intrusive thoughts, okay? We get why they happen. Why the intrusive memories? Why? Can we please just let
us
know
when
why?
You have them? I do it, so I want to know if you do it or I'm just mental. But... If you get one of those intrusive memories or intrusive thoughts, do you have to like audibly say something out loud so it breaks your train of thought?
I do.
Mine's usually swear words or something like, oh fuck, or it could be like, literally that, but then it snaps me out of it, and then I'm embarrassed again, like, oh my god, why the fuck did I do that? But it's not stuck in my brain, if that makes sense.
I won't do it if I'm like around people.
Oh no, I do. So if you ever hear me going like, or what's another one I do, like, oh my, da, da, da. If I ever do that, that's another one I do. That's me having one, and I've had to knock myself out of it because I will be in a whirlwind of embarrassment in my own fucking head for God knows how long.
It's fully understandable. I will sometimes, if they just won't go away, I will actually hit myself in the side of the head to just like, just go.
Leave me.
Like, try and shake myself like an Etch-a-Sketch, trying to fucking delete the memories.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to let us know why that happens.
They were fucking hard. I would never got the hang of them.
As we are spiraling.
We really are.
So sorry, very
rare. Most of it was my fault. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's how we know you're back on the episodes.
And
it's
we haven't spiraled in a while.
No. And it's also been a short episode.
We really haven't. And this is quite a short episode.
We're allowed to.
And most people that only care about the Jack the Ripper part of it has already turned us off by now, so it's fine.
It's like, not that, you know, I mean, I gave many details, you know, anyway. Avengers, it was mostly like, us having a fucking heart attack.
After the credits.
The credits.
There's like the little secret scene.
Yes. That's what we are. But at all times.
It's like a random spiral at the end of the episode.
Honestly.
Where we've gone from Jack the Ripper to...
Because this is the portion... Yeah. This is the portion where we're actually supposed to discuss the story. But we give our opinions so much throughout the story, we don't really have a lot to discuss by the end of it. So we're just like, do you ever wonder if giraffes get songs stuck in their heads?
Oh no! But I did see a giraffe trying to fight an ostrich before.
I mean, look, the more the long necks, it makes sense.
It was so funny because obviously the ostrich was way fucking quicker than the giraffe, but the giraffe is still not giving up. It was such a funny thing to witness. I think I might have a video of it. I'll send it to you. It was gas.
But okay. I guess we wrap up then for this week before we spiral any harder, faster, stronger, or better. And we will catch up next week once again to talk about more murder and then maybe start kicking off the conspiracies already. I don't know how long we're going to get out of this series, to be quite honest, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, probably not much, to be honest, because like, there's what, like, we'll three proper ones?
We'll be fine. If there's anything we can do, it's ramble.
If there's anything I can do, it's a start up a good
spiral.
Well,
I mean, I think last podcast managed to squeeze out five.
Yeah, but there you go.
They managed to squeeze out five.
Then. What did they even, did they talk about? Like, the
they have, no, they haven't.
So?
I don't know. I can't remember it because I listened to it like easy 2 years ago now at this point.
I don't think I've listened to their Ripper series.
They put in so much more effort than us as well. Like, I just couldn't be fucking arsed.
Oh, absolutely. See, we don't have a Marcus Parks.
Except, yeah, we don't have a Marcus, nor do we have a team. They've made it in the podcasting world. We are nobody. It makes sense.
But we are far too lazy to ever even dream of that level
of
commitment.
We don't even advertise. We're just like, if you find
great.
Us, well done.
If not, sure luck.
Oh, and on that note, if you find us next week, we'll be thrilled to have you. Then in that case, I will just leave everyone with some positive vibes and negative tests and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.